Author's note. No, note for the author, rather, from the reader. I am hoping that I can do this without rewatching goddamn motherfucking Gone with the Wind again. And if I decide I need to do that for research purposes, it's your fault and fuck you. Okay? Because fuck that movie. All right. Edit. Nah, never mind, because it turns out Julia might be my favorite character all of a sudden. I hope you like it, because I sure do. Enjoy. The Blacksburg Wizard Rail Station was the debarkment point for both BMI and New Roanoke, as well as travelers heading to nearby Muggle cities. One of the uniformed porter elves followed her and Maximilian, floating their luggage with a hovering charm, though Alexandra insisted on carrying Charlie's cage herself. Charlie was now squawking loudly, eager to be let out, and Alexandra noticed many of the passers-by at the station giving her and her familiar odd, suspicious looks. Blacksburg was much smaller than Chicago, and so was the Wizard Rail Station. Among the witches and wizards boarding and leaving the station, Alexandra saw the usual assortment of robes and cloaks, as well as witches in frilly hoop skirts and wizards in what looked like old-fashioned dinner jackets or tailcoats. She was glad Maximilian had told her to throw a robe over her jeans and t-shirt. She didn't see anyone else wearing Muggle clothing. Here and there were other kids wearing BMI uniforms, and a couple nodded to Maximilian in recognition. The porter elf waited patiently, while Maximilian paused and looked around. And then someone squealed, "Max!" Oh yeah, this is gonna go great. A girl in fluttering lilac robes came running and practically leaped into Maximilian's arms. He caught her and laughed, while she kissed his cheek and giggled as he spun her about. "It's only been 3 months, Julia," he said, setting her down. "So?" she demanded, and kissed his cheek again. Then she turned to face Alexandra. Julia King looked much like her pictures, except prettier, Alexandra thought. Her dark brown hair was tied with a ribbon that matched the one cinching her dress in a bow, and she was wearing makeup and a pair of sparkling earrings. She was barely taller than Alexandra, but she had a more girlish figure, and in her dress and makeup, she looked like a young woman. Alexandra felt like a little kid. Then the older girl wrapped her arms around Alexandra in a hug as enthusiastic as the one she'd given Maximilian. Alexandra couldn't return it, as she was still holding Charlie's cage, so she blinked, exhaling with surprise and staring at Maximilian, who just grinned. "Alexandra, I'm so happy you'll be spending the week here. Maximilian has told me all about you. I've been so looking forward to meeting you." "Really?" Alexandra gasped, as her half-sister squeezed her tightly and then released her. "Of course." Julia stood back, still with her hands on Alexandra's shoulders, and looked her up and down. Alexandra wondered if the other girl was finding her appearance wanting. She was rumpled, tired after their train ride, and wearing only a simple robe over her Muggle clothes. Her sneakers and the bottoms of her jeans were visible beneath it, and her hair, not as long as Julia's, hung straight without any kind of styling or ribbons. But Julia just grinned at her and said, "You do look like Max a little." "I do?" Alexandra stared back at her. Julia nodded and pushed Alexandra's hair back from her ears. "You have such straight hair, but your skin is much fairer than ours, and your eyes, oh, I can't wait to dress you up for the cotillion." "The what?" Alexandra stammered. "Ahem." Maximilian cleared his throat loudly. "She's not one of your dolls, Julia. And we haven't talked about the cotillion. What makes you think either of you are going?" "Oh, you great awful snarly," Julia retorted. Then she winked at Alexandra and gave her another hug. "We're going to have so much fun. I want to know all about Muggles and how they dress and what it's like to ride in those little cars and what Muggle boys are like. And oh, I bet you've never ridden a winged horse, have you? And you can tell me if Max has been nice to you or a horrible beast like he usually is." This last was said in a whisper that was not really a whisper. "Ahem," Maximilian repeated.
"Ahem,"
Charlie echoed. Julia started, and so did Alexandra, as Charlie mimicked Maximilian almost perfectly. Julia stared down at the cage as if just noticing it.
"You really do have a raven familiar," she exclaimed,
and for a moment Alexandra thought she was about to be dismayed or horrified, but then she clasped her hands together and knelt to look through the metal bars at Charlie.
"Hello there," she cooed in a sweet sing-song voice. "Hello, pretty bird. Can you talk?"
"Bird brain,"
Charlie cooed back. Julia blinked in astonishment. Alexandra flushed and glared at Charlie. Maximilian seemed to be trying to suppress laughter. Julia stood up and smiled.
"You're so lucky," she enthused. "I wish I had a familiar." She took Alexandra's free hand and grabbed Maximilian's with the other. Come on, Mother is waiting for us in the carriage.
The Blacksburg Wizard Rail Station seemed to be out in the woods, with no Muggle town nearby. There were four dirt roads leading away from it. Lanterns were hung around the station, and more were floating above the crossroads as the sun was setting. There were a few brooms and flying carpets taking off, carrying their riders off in all directions. Alexandra saw a car, too, something that looked like an old Model T, but with the tires of a sports car. And there was a small white bus with a sign that said, Blacksburg Majory Institute, which some of the uniformed BMI students were boarding. But Julia led Alexandra and Maximilian down the wooden steps of the train station to a large, black, open-top horse carriage, and Alexandra paused to gape, not at the woman sitting in the carriage, but at the horse in front of it. It would be generous to call the thing a horse, Alexandra thought. It was a horrendous skeletal creature, black and leathery, with a face that looked more like some kind of dragon. It did have wings, though. She stopped and made a face. The beast was just standing there, quietly harnessed to the carriage. What's wrong? Maximilian asked. Alexandra looked at him and then back at the emaciated creature. Do all winged horses look like that? She asked. It looks like it's almost starved to death. Maximilian's mouth tightened.
You can see it? Julia asked quietly, and Alexandra stared at her in surprise.
Of course I can. It's standing right there, she pointed. Can't you?
Julia shook her head, and her expression was odd, almost sad, as she looked at Alexandra.
Not everyone can see them, said a deep, rich voice, and Alexandra turned towards the woman who had stepped down from the carriage. Especially at your age. Miss King was a large, imposing woman, and she was quite beautiful, Alexandra thought. She was older than Alexandra's own mother and much taller. She had a Juno-esque figure and wavy black hair spilling loosely around her shoulders. Oh, fuck. Unlike Julia's carefully brushed and tied... How the fuck do you say that? God damn it!
She had a Juno-esque figure and wavy black hair spilling loosely around her shoulders, unlike Julia's carefully brushed and tied coiffure. She studied Alexandra a moment and then pulled her into an embrace. Alexandra's head was momentarily pressed against the witch's large bosom, and then Miss King let go of her and looked her up and down, much as Julia had.
I can certainly see your father in you, she said quietly,
and Alexandra shuffled uneasily, but there was no trace of bitterness in the woman's voice.
Welcome to Roanoke, Alexandra. You are our guest, and you will be treated like family here.
Thank you, Alexandra murmured. Thank you for letting me come.
Miss King smiled gently, then turned to indicate the skeletal winged horse.
This is a Thestral, she said, and no, most of our horses don't look like that. Thestrals are a rare breed, and we only have a few of them.
We mostly raise Granians, Julia interjected, and then pouted as her mother gave her an admonishing look for the interruption. Miss King nodded.
You'll get to see the Granians later. Don't be alarmed by the Thestrals' appearance. They aren't starving, I assure you, and contrary to old superstitions, they are neither dark creatures nor unlucky. But they are invisible to most people, Muggles and witches alike.
She regarded Alexandra with eyes as dark and serious as Maximilian's.
Only someone who has witnessed death can see them.
Oh, Alexandra said quietly.
She felt Maximilian's hand on her shoulder, and Julia's eyes on her. And then Miss King said, a little more brusquely,
Well, shall we get in the carriage rather than making this poor elf stand here all evening?
Alexandra started and looked at the forgotten porter elf guiltily, though the elf immediately bowed and demurred,
Moose does not mind, missus.
Moose levitated their bags into the carriage and thanked Miss King profusely when she handed him a gold lion. Maximilian sat in front with his mother, and Alexandra and Julia took the back seat. Alexandra unlatched Charlie's cage, and the raven immediately fluttered out and took off, cawing joyfully at the freedom and the opportunity to stretch wings confined too long in a cage.
Don't worry, Alexandra said, noticing Julia's look of concern as Charlie flapped off into the evening sky. Charlie's my familiar.
Familiars always return to you, Miss King nodded from the front seat. And ravens are wise birds. They don't get lost.
They rode through the woods, and Julia did most of the talking. She alternated between asking Maximilian and Alexandra about Charmbridge Academy. She knew Beatrice and Martin, and laughed when Alexandra mentioned Darla Dearborn's unfortunate infatuation.
I had a crush on Martin when I was 10, Julia confided.
Alexandra wrinkled her nose. You're kidding.
All those years ago, Maximilian commented dryly from the front seat.
Julia made a face at him, then turned back to Alexandra.
You must admit, Martin is cute.
I guess, Alexandra muttered.
Enough about Martin and the silly girls who have crushes on him,
Maximilian grumbled.
He encourages them.
You should talk, Alexandra replied. How embarrassing is it that two of my friends have a crush on you? Julia giggled.
Really?
Maximilian shook his head. I don't encourage them.
Ladies,
Alexandra intoned, dropping her pitch to try to imitate the deep, serious voice with which he had greeted the Pritchards. Julia swayed in her seat, clutching Alexandra's arm and laughing out loud.
Fine, next time I won't be polite to them, Maximilian growled.
Ooh, he's showing his temper already,
Julia teased.
Enough bickering, children, said Miss King sedately. I'd like Alexandra to see your best behavior, not your worst.
Alexandra was actually enjoying the bickering between Julia and Maximilian. It was obvious that they both loved it. But she became aware suddenly of a salty breeze blowing in her face as the woods fell away behind them. In the darkening gray gloom ahead, she saw nothing. They seemed to be plunging into a fog bank.
She questioned as she felt the ground under the wheels become soft and yielding. Are we heading towards the ocean?
Well, of course, Julia replied. Didn't Max tell you?
Alexandra could hear surf now. The closest she'd ever gotten to an ocean was Lake Michigan.
Tell me what?
Ahead, she saw the Thestral spread its wings and plunge forward into the gray mist. Its bat-like wings were flapping now, and it felt as if the ground had dropped away beneath them altogether. Alexandra leaned over the side of the carriage and saw waves below.
Croatoa is on an island,
Julia informed her.
I do hope you're right about Charlie being able to find you again.